Amen. All God's people said, amen. Y'all can be seated. Let's have a little concert out back, someone said 5 years ago. I am proud and grateful to be a part of a church of the Lord Jesus Christ whose pastoral leadership is totally and fully committed to making the name of Jesus known. I am proud and I am grateful to be a part of a church of the Lord Jesus Christ whose people are committed to serve to make the name of Jesus known. In case you missed it, we had a little concert out back this weekend. I think one statement that one of our pastors made as he was overlooking the evening of worship here, he said this, he said, "Nights like tonight make me wonder what God could really do with a people who put aside their differences and preferences to unify around the sole purpose of making the gospel known, immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine." Amen? Man, words and pictures cannot describe what we just experienced, and I'm grateful to say that we're experiencing the same presence of God this morning. And so of all the pictures that are out there, the crowds and the spinning drum set and all the neat things that happened, I just want to show you one picture on the screen for a moment that I think just resounds the idea of the weekend. We have that picture coming on the screen. There we go. The guy on the left is one of our deacons who loves to serve Jesus. And I'll read what he wrote in a text with this picture to me. And I'm reading it because he didn't just say this to me, he said it to us. And I think it just is really, really cool. It says, "Because of the hard work that you all do out in the field, I was able to have the privilege of holding Dominic's hand while he accepted Christ as his Savior." Amen. Celebrate that, church. He's a college student from Dallas playing ball at one of Conway's Christian universities. "Thanks for the privilege and for all your hard work. Your effort has value. Praise be to the living God." Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Amen. And I know that you know that there's a lot more Dominic stories out there. I believe that God is doing something in our hearts. I believe that God is doing something in our church. I believe that God is doing something in our city. And I don't know for sure what all God wants to do, but I really want to find out. And I think we're experiencing that, and it's a joy. I want us to open to Acts chapter 4 this morning as we just continue to try to amplify the name of Jesus. One of our guys came in this morning. I was kind of sitting in my office. I don't really do that on Sunday morning, but I was kind of camped out in there for a minute. He said, "You okay?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "You a little tired?" I said, "Sure." And he said, "But are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm a little nervous." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, it's not because I don't think I have anything to say. It's just I'm planning on covering 31 verses of scripture, and I'm a little nervous that might overwhelm everyone." And as I said that out loud, my nervousness went away. If the Word of God overwhelms you this morning, amen, right? Let's get overwhelmed with the Word of God. Acts chapter 4, beginning verse number 1. Before we begin reading, just to get you on track of what's happening, we're reading the Acts, literally the Acts, what the Lord's church was doing early on, the Acts of the church. God has moved mightily. His Spirit has done amazing things, and He's continuing to do amazing things. In chapter 3, we're not going to go back and read, but if you go back and check out chapter number 3, some of God's people had healed a man. And all the religious leaders of the day, check this out, the religious leaders of the day had a hissy fit that they would heal a man. They just did not like this. And it was a lot of things that brought them to that place. But we're going to pick up in verse number 1 of chapter 4, which is the outflow of God using these guys to heal someone. It says, "While Peter and John were speaking to the people, They were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. So what you have here are all the authorities, religiously speaking, of the day, as well as the police, all right? They are coming in and saying, we're going to confront you. How many people in this room like confrontation? One person in this room's honest. I figured about six hands to go up honestly, but most of us, we don't enjoy it, do we? Especially when it's the authority coming down on us. Verse 2. These leaders were disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus, there is a resurrection of the dead. Now, there's a couple of huge problems that they're having in this moment. One, these particular set of religious leaders of the day, they believed in God, but they had rejected Jesus. Thank you. That's my wonderful wife taking care of me. Thank you so much. May have sung loud this weekend. Thanks, babe. You distracted me. Where was I? She does that to me. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, they had a problem with the resurrection of the dead. So Jesus and all. So here's the deal. These guys, not only had they rejected Jesus as who he was, but they rejected the idea. They rejected the truth. They rejected the reality. They rejected the fact that not only had Jesus died on the cross, but that he had risen back up from the grave. And they did not believe that people have what would be called a bodily resurrection. They believed in the afterlife. They believed that your soul, your spirit would go to be to God after you die, but they did not believe in what we come to know from Scripture as a bodily resurrection. And so these guys were preaching Jesus who had died and who had bodily raised from the dead, and they were teaching that we could experience this same type of resurrection through Jesus as well, that after our death, Jesus is one day coming back. And the dead who are in Christ, as Scripture teaches, will what? Will rise first. What? Out of the grave. Like our bodies are going to come back to life. And we're going to have new bodies with new life one day. And they just rejected this teaching. Verse 3. They arrested them. And since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. Let me just tell you something. I don't know what it's going to look like, but if you really start following Jesus and you really start proclaiming Jesus, things will get crazy. I don't know if you or I will ever be thrown into jail for proclaiming Jesus, but if you get busy proclaiming Jesus, crazy things will begin to happen. Verse number 4. But of the number of people who heard their message, but many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of believers now totaled about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Can you imagine a crowd that size? I can. Here's the deal. These guys were trying to stop the messengers of Jesus. And for a moment, they put them in jail and took them away from the other people. And maybe for a moment, they pressed pause on the messengers. But let me tell you something. You can stop a messenger of God, but you cannot stop the message of God. The glorious gospel is going to go forth throughout this world with or without me. And the amazing thing is, Jesus invites me to be a part of proclaiming it. Verse 5, the next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers. So in case you didn't think it covered everything, they just told you all these different titles. The council of all the rulers and the elders and the teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all the other relatives of the high priest. So he brought his boys in. He brought his uncles in. He brought his granddad in. And he brought his son in. And he brought his brothers in. And they kind of made up this insider group that ruled the religious day for the people there. Verse 7. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you doneness. Now, I'll explain to you what's happening in this moment. These guys, Peter and John, are faithful to follow Jesus, faithful to share Jesus. They've been with Jesus. Let me tell you what happens when you've been with Jesus and you've had an experience with Jesus and he's changed your life. He is going to give you a platform to share his name. The platform that he's giving these guys in that moment is an opportunity to speak to the highest religious leaders of the day. And so God is going to give me a platform. God is going to give you a platform. Are we going to be able to walk out in front of thousands of people and that will be our platform? Maybe so. Reed had that opportunity yesterday in the band, right? What an incredible opportunity that they had. Will it be an opportunity to stand up on this stage and proclaim to hundreds of people? Maybe so. Maybe it might just look like lunch break at your workplace. And God's going to connect with you with somebody, and he's going to give you a platform. He's going to give you an opportunity to share his glorious name. The question is, what will I do with that platform? What will you do with that platform? Check out what these guys did with that platform. They did the crazy thing. They did the unthinkable thing. They did the illogical thing. Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, controlled by God in him, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? And they're like, yeah, we really want to know what you got to say. This would be a great opportunity for Peter and John to say, look at what we did. Aren't we amazing? Aren't we powerful? We can do miracles. Verse 10, let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. The man, check this out, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. You're talking about taking your platform and amplifying and glorifying the name of Jesus when everything is at risk. They went for it. They went for it. Verse 11, another indictment. For Jesus is the one referred to in scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is, verse 12, there is salvation in no one else, they went on to declare. There's salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Man, they just took a beeline to Jesus with the platform that God had given them. Check out verse 13. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. For they could see that they were ordinary men. How many people in this room just feel like you're just an ordinary person? Anybody? A few of you are like, I'm waiting on you to ask who of us thinks that you're extraordinary. I know, I'm not going to ask that question. Some of you are ready to raise your hand. But are you like me? Most of us in this room, we just feel like we're just an ordinary person. So they saw that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. Check out the last part. They also recognized, and did that get cut off on the screen? The most amazing thing. Can we pull that up? Can we get that up there somehow? Oh my goodness. Can we do that? He's working on it. He's still working on it. They also recognize, it's all good. They also recognize them. Check this out. Hey, is there? No. What is going on? All right, I got my Bible, so I'm going to read it. They also recognize them as men, check this out, who had been with Jesus. They're like, man, these guys, I don't know what all is going on with them, but they seem really ordinary. I think one of them used to be a fisher dude. But these guys, They have been with Jesus. Here's what I want you to get. Oh, man, when you've been with Jesus, you just have to tell somebody. When you've been with Jesus, when you've had an encounter, an experience, a life-changing encounter with the Holy God, you just have to tell somebody. And people are going to notice it. They're going to notice it. Let me ask you some questions. When was the last time, you were with Jesus? Let me ask you another quick question. What proof can you give that you were with him? Let me ask you another question. What has God done in your life lately? And let me ask you another question. What have you allowed him to do? I'm here to tell you that if you've been with Jesus, you just have to tell somebody. Check out our scripture as it continues to say, verse number 14, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there he was, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. Verse 16, what should we do with these men? They ask each other. We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. They're like, what can we do? Can we cover it up? Nope, we can't cover it up. Like, everybody knows about it, so we'll try to shut it up. And so they put a gag order on these guys. Verse 18, so they called apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 19, but Peter and John replied, oh, yes, sir. We won't do that anymore, sir. Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? In other words, who are you? Are you God? Are you the one that created the heavens and the earth? Are you the one that holds it in existence and sustains it? Are you the one that I'm going to stand before one day before I enter into eternity and give an answer for everything that I am done? Is that you that's speaking right now? Should I obey you? Oh, wait a minute. You're not God. I don't think so. Verse number 20. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. They walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They saw Jesus sweat great drops of blood in prayer the night before he was crucified. They saw him arrested. They saw him go to the cross. They saw him suffer, bleed, and die. And then 3 days later, they saw an empty tomb. And then they got to see Jesus walking around after he had died and rose back from the grave. And they're like, listen, we can't not tell people about this. It's just going to happen. When you've been with Jesus, you just have to tell somebody. Verse 21. And the council threatened them further, but they finally let them go, because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. Somebody yesterday, no joke, they walked up to me, and it was a friend of mine, and so it was all good. But he walked up to me yesterday, and it was about, I don't know, 7:30 last night, and he walked up to me, and he said, hey, what if I got up there, and he kind of gave a couple of for instances, and said, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and hey, did you know this, and hey, did you know, do you think I could get up there and say that, and these people would be upset, and we could just shut this thing down? I said, good luck. I said, go for it, man. He was kidding, I was kidding, but you know what was happening in that moment? There was such a presence of God, and people were so experiencing the presence of Jesus, there was nothing that anyone can or could say that would have shut it down. Because the message of the gospel was being elevated and the name of Jesus was being put above every other name. And these guys knew, man, there's no stopping this. Let's just try to keep it at bay at best. It says, for everyone was praising God. Did it not feel like everybody in the whole world was praising Jesus this weekend? Wow. Verse 22, for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. Verse 23. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in griping and complaining. Eight of you are reading along. Oh, that God's people, will be so consumed and so focused with Jesus that no matter what anybody else out there says, we keep our hearts and our minds fully focused on Jesus. We are God's people. We are God's people not because we have done something good, not because we go to church, not because we have put our name on some membership roll. We are God's people because of Jesus. His death, his burial, his resurrection. That is our message. That is what we declare. That is what we are about. Are there things that I don't like or you don't like, but it doesn't matter because of Jesus. That's who our eyes are on. Did y'all hear that? They heard it, and all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth are prepared for battle. The rulers are gathered together against the Lord and against the Messiah. Verse 27, in fact, this happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and all the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed, God. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants. What would you pray for in this moment? They're arresting you. You feel this persecution that's about to come upon you. You feel like everything is about to go sideways. You feel like your faith is about to be outlawed. What do you pray for? What do you pray for when you get scared, when you begin to wonder what you can do or not do in the name of Jesus? I don't know, but I pray things like, God, protect me. God, make me cool. God, make them like me. God, make people accept me. Check out what they prayed for. O Lord, hear their threats. Verse 29, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. We don't care about us. We only care about the gospel, and we want it to go forth. Give us boldness. Now, there is a distinct difference between a holy boldness and silly foolishness. A holy boldness is because we, God's people, are willing to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and to control us. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of us because we are believers, saying, take my eyes and take my hands and take my feet and take my heart and take my mouth and use it all for your glory, as opposed to a silly foolishness that's all about me and what I want and how people can hear me and how people can respond to me. And they said, give us a great boldness in preaching your word. Verse 30, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Verse 31, after this prayer, the meeting place shook. There were no amplifiers. There were no subwoofers. The Holy Spirit of God moved. The meeting place shook. and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. If you want to see what the result of all of this is, find some time to pick up verse 32 and keep reading. And when you run out of scripture, find what you can find from history. And when you run out of finding things in history, look around you, and you're going to see around you today the result of God filling them with His Spirit and them moving forth in boldness. We are sitting here today in this place worshiping Jesus because of the boldness of these believers on that day. Do you understand? The gospel got spread from them throughout the ages to us. Man, who knows? Who knows what will happen when we've been with Jesus? When will be the next time that you are with Jesus? I'll be frank with you. I hope it's this morning. Amen. What does God want to do in and through your life next? Will you allow Him to do whatever He wants? Now, I know what that means because I wrote that down and then I typed it in and then I asked Him to put it on the screen. Will you allow Him to do whatever He wants? Now, here's what I know about God. God most of the time doesn't do what I want. And so to say, will I let God do whatever He wants, makes me realize I've got to set me and what I want aside. And I know that is not easy. But when we do it, God does amazing, amazing things. So here's the big two-word question I want to pose to you is, who knows? Who knows what God wants to do? But I want to find out. On that same note, who knows? Who knows Christ? And who doesn't know Christ? But the people who don't know Christ, I want them to know Him. Who knows the marvelous gospel of Jesus? We do. So let's take it to those who don't. Who knows that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life? We do. So let's tell others. Who knows what will happen when, at the place we spend a lot of time every single day earning a living, we're just obedient to Jesus in that place, what God will do. Who knows what will happen when in our family we share the love of Jesus? Who knows what will happen that in our neighborhood we just start living with holy boldness? Who knows what will happen through Holland Chapel, this glorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we all start living out the kindness and declaring the glory of Jesus? Who knows what will happen on your school campus when you start spending more time with Jesus than you do on Facebook? Who knows what will happen in this city when we have so much to tell about Jesus, we can't not tell it? When you've been with Jesus, you just have to, what? Tell somebody. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name except for Jesus under heaven by which we must be, help me out, believers, by which we must be. Man, we've been saved, people. We've been rescued. We have been redeemed. We have been pulled out of the pits of sin and death and darkness and defeat. And we've been brought into light and we've experienced the presence and the glory and the redemption and the forgiveness and the righteousness and the eternal life of Jesus because of Jesus. And it's only by His name that we are saved. And so we celebrate that this morning. We amplify that this morning. And let me tell you what, if you've never been saved through the name of Jesus, the only name by which you must be saved, we want to invite you today to be saved and be forever changed. He can change you today. He's been saving people this week. He was saving people last week, rescuing people. And we want Him to rescue this morning. Now, in just a moment, we're going to sing. Some of our pastors are going to be down front. Church, I want to speak to you first. You know my heart. I believe that the church, God's people ought to lead the way to Jesus. And so we're going to offer a time to respond to Jesus. And so, church, saved people, I want to encourage you to respond, lead the way to Jesus this morning. If you don't know Jesus, I want to tell you what's about to happen. We, God's people, are thankful for what Jesus has done, and we want him to experience you too. We want you to experience Jesus too. So if you need to come as someone who doesn't know Jesus, you've never proclaimed his name as your Savior, and you've never been radically changed by him forever, we want that to happen for you today. Our pastors are going to be down front. You can find one if you need them. If you don't need them and you want to express your sin and your separation from God and proclaim Jesus as your Savior this morning, you don't need me. You only need Jesus. And he can save you and he can forever change you. We're going to pray. After this prayer, we're going to stand and we're going to respond to Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for this weekend. But God, we thank you for Jesus. Words couldn't describe this weekend. Words definitely can't describe Jesus. You have come for us. You left the comforts of heaven. And you came down here to redeem us, to buy us back, to bring us out of our sin. And Father, we, your people, we are so thankful. We are so full of celebration in our hearts, and we want to share that with others. We want other people to experience that for the very first time for eternity today. We want people who are in this room, who are hearing this glorious message of Jesus, to be saved and to be forever changed. God, we, your people, want to lead people to you. If you want to use us to walk down the aisle and kneel this morning and pray to lead people to Jesus, we just want to say we'll do it. If you want to use us in the lunchroom tomorrow at school or at the workplace to lead people to Jesus, we just want to tell you, God, we're ordinary people, but fill us with your Spirit and we'll do it. God, if you want to use us in any kind of shape, form, or fashion, we just want to tell you we'll do it because we want to lift up the name of Jesus. We want to claim the promise that if the name of Jesus is lifted up, that all men will be drawn unto you. So we lift up the name of Jesus today. We lift up the name of Jesus today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.